Good morning, it's Tom McVeigh here today.
And I'm Mark Westcott, and welcome to 7 Minute Wisdom.
Mark, today I thought we might talk a little bit about just some practical things post-death. We've spoken often on the some of the technical things, and I thought you might share with us some of the things that you encourage people to do to make it simple for the surviving family to deal with things quickly and to get on with life.
Sure, thanks, Tom. Look, one of the tools we created some time ago is a simple document we call the Legacy Blueprint. It really just is what it sounds like. And let me give you a couple of examples, I guess, is a good way to explain this. The first example is where someone dies, let's say the husband dies, and the family have got no idea what he owns, what he owed, where the insurance is, if there is any, what superannuation plans he's put in place. Does he owe tax? You know, it's kind of, it's all a bit of a mess, and they're all running around digging through filing cabinets and phoning all the advisors they think he may have dealt with to try and work out what he had in place. And you know, death is a traumatic enough time as it is, and you don't want to leave that burden on people of leaving an absolute mess. And I just have this saying in life is always leave clues for your family. You know, don't leave a mess, leave clues so that it's easy for people to follow up and find out what's going on. The second scenario is, let's say the husband dies and he's left a list of everything he owns and everything he owes, all his insurances, his superannuation, where to go to look for things and all that sort of stuff. So if you were the spouse of the deceased, would you rather be the first one or the second one? I mean, it's a pretty simple answer. You'd hope that your partner had taken just a few minutes to leave a list of what he owns and owes. And that's why we created the Legacy Blueprint. And basically what we're doing is when I'm with clients, I sit down and we go through, okay, what are all the assets for the husband and wife? What are the assets that you own? So we might start with, let's say, the wife, and we say, okay, what are the things that you have a share in? And specifically, what do you want to happen with each of those assets upon your death? So, you know, do you want the jewellery to go to your daughter and so on? So you just go through and make a bit of a list about what you want to happen to each of those assets. And similarly with the husband, what's his assets? What's his share of the assets and where would he want them to go? And then we ask the question, if they both died, if they're both in the same car accident, for example, what would they want to happen to those assets, which would be joint assets? So they want them to go to children or other family members or whatever. So it's making it really clear in regard to that simple side.
So like a lot of things you do, Mark, it does make sense. How often do you think people should review this? From an estate planning perspective, we recommend about every 4 or 5 years to update the documents or at least review to see whether they need updating. Would this be something you might do on a yearly basis?
Absolutely, Tom. For some people who have very busy lives and are always buying and selling assets, might be something to do more regularly, but certainly I think the Legacy Blueprint is something you do on an annual basis. If I may just keep going too, it's not just about the assets they own and what they want to happen to them. It's very much too then about nominating all the debts and, as we say, tell the truth. You know, what are all the things that you owe money on? The mortgage, personal debts, cards, leases and so on, business loans and all that sort of stuff. So it's just a matter of making sure that whoever's left behind has a really clear list of understanding what is owned and what is owed. After the debts, we then go through and say, okay, what life insurance have you got in place? What superannuation, what retirement benefits do you have in place? And who are the beneficiaries? So in a way, it's certainly not as detailed as your due diligence, but it's moving towards helping to understand what is the ownership of all these assets and what's the ownership of the insurance and have they nominated beneficiaries for their superannuation and so on. So having that blueprint, which is exactly what it is just so valuable, because I've seen when people die and the spouse is sitting there at the funeral and thinking, you know, not only have I lost my partner, but I just have no idea what we now own and what we owe and so on. So it really creates great simplicity for people. And even to the point where on the form, because it's really hard to get information out, and I'm going to tell the truth here, is that for a lot of clients, it's really hard to get the information out of them. because it's sort of like a task that they just don't want to do because for some people, as you know, Tom, too much detail just makes them go foggy. So what I've left on the form is, okay, if you're not going to give me all the details, can you tell me who we can call?
Right.
So who's their accountant, who's their financial planner, who's their solicitor, who's their maybe their bank manager? Who are the people that if something happened to you, if those that are left behind could ring these three or four people, they'd absolutely get a clear picture and they'd know exactly what was owned, what was owed, and so on. So we've created a form that actually appeals to people with very low attention to detail as well as people with very high attention to detail.
Don't know where that came from, Mark.
Well, that's probably personal experience, Tom. That's personal experience.
You've touched on another topic, I think, and it may be covered by another tool, the Dear Mary letter. But so you, in this, the Legacy Blueprint, we've identified assets and liabilities and you've suggested people that the family could go to. Is this a document where you also cover off on, for instance, if the deceased owned a business where he would recommend you go and speak to this salesperson or this competitor? Is that done in another
environment? No, we do that really in the Dear Mary letter or what we call the executor's agenda or the Dear Mary letter. This is really just to create a blueprint of what is owned and owed and what other assets may come in on someone's death. So I've tried to keep it simple because I think that's what works for people. And really, this is the foundation of getting the estate planning done. This and the family tree, and then you can go through and say, okay, well, if this is what people's real intent is, then it makes it easier then to create the documents that will make that happen.
Great, Mark. It's been a pleasure talking to you again today.
Same here, Tom. Look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Bye.